This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. For approximately a year, an illicit drug referred to as down has been available in the Prince George area. It's typically purple in color, an interesting concoction of caffeine, sugar, and fentanyl. However, benzodiazepines have been emerging in the drug supply for some time, complicating overdose and overdose recoveries. And now yet another powerful agent has entered into the supply. The Pounds Project is working on the front lines of the toxic drug crisis here in Prince George. They operate the Two Doors Down drop-in center on 1126 3rd Avenue, downtown Prince George, offering supervised consumption and spectrometer analysis, among so many other services such as workshops and consulting, Narcan, support services, naloxone training, and more. For some relevant statistics, as of September 2023, there were 66 deaths tied to unregulated drug overdoses. Northern Health has the highest rate of unregulated drug deaths at 62 per 100,000. That's currently the highest in the province. Potentially exacerbating that problem is this new to our community substance. It has been circulating around North America and even the province for a while, but it's definitely here in Prince George now. Talking to us today about the Pound Project, xylazine, and complicating factors in overdose and overdose recovery is Emily Wells. We reached her over the phone. Here she is telling us what's new.
The new piece in the drug market is the benzos and the xylazine. So most people who use opiates every day are using down. Down is essentially a mixture of fentanyl and caffeine and sugar. And so your typical person who uses opiates is going to be using down maybe every day or every other day to make sure that they're well, they're not sick, they're not going through withdrawals. So what we're finding is that what used to just be fentanyl, so opiates, is now being contaminated with benzodiazepines and more recently xylazine. And they both kind of act similarly in that they're very sedating and they can cause like blackouts and prolonged sedation or even unconsciousness. So the issue is people who are expecting to just be taking an opiate, the fentanyl, to get well, to be able to not be sick and going through withdrawals, to be able to go through their day and be functioning. The down that they're using isn't just the opiates anymore. A lot of the time it's contaminated with benzos or xylazine, and that can cause people to have reactions to the down that they are not expecting or not necessarily prepared for.
Yeah, and there are some unintended consequences through use of this. For example, if the dose lasts for too long or is too strong, more so than what the user is expecting, that can lead to some consequences just from not necessarily living in a particularly safe space. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes people are finding that they're passing out, or they might be awake, but they might be blacked out for hours or even days at a time. And that's leaving people super vulnerable to assault or getting robbed. It can also really complicate overdoses. One of the big differences between opiates and benzos and xylazine is opiates will depress your breathing. So if you overdose, you stop breathing, which is obviously not great.
Yeah.
Benzos and xylazine don't specifically do that. They do put you to sleep, they sedate you, but they're not necessarily going to stop your breathing by themselves. If anything, you would just be passed out and not be able to wake up, but you'd still be breathing. But having the two combined can make overdoses really complicated and more challenging to respond to.
And the toxic drug supply within BC right now, of course, you can't paint the entire thing with one brush, but it sounds as though the presence of something that's more or less naturally occurring, such as heroin, has almost been entirely replaced by synthetic substitutes like fentanyl itself. And this is complicating the effects of naloxone and Revival, along with other things that are cut in with that supply, such as benzodiazepines, and more recently, the xylazine.
Yeah, so the thing about Narcan is the overdose from the opiate part will respond to the Narcan. So the Narcan will kick the opiates off of their receptors, and they won't be overdosing from the fentanyl anymore, or whatever opiate. But like you say, benzos and xylazine don't really have any effects on your opiate receptors, so Narcan doesn't have any effect on it. So what we're kind of seeing now, people are presenting a little bit differently with their overdoses, whereas before, benzos and xylazine were so prevalent. You would give someone Narcan, and once they had enough Narcan, they would just wake up, and you would know right away that they were good and they were okay, because they would just wake up and get up right away. Now what we're seeing is someone will have an overdose, they'll go down, they won't be breathing. We'll give them the Narcan, and they'll start breathing, but they won't wake up because they're still overdosing from the benzos. So if you give someone too much Narcan, you can send them into withdrawals, which can cause vomiting. And so if you're not paying close attention, you might not realize that they're not overdosing on opiates anymore. Now you have to really pay attention to see, okay, are they breathing? Because even if the overdose from the opiate part is over, they might not wake up still. So you might not notice that they're breathing. You might keep giving Narcan, and then they end up going into withdrawals while they're still unconscious, and they could end up vomiting while they're unconscious, which can be dangerous. So we've had to change how we respond to overdoses a little bit. Now we don't wait for them to wake up, we wait for them to start breathing. Once they start breathing, you know, we'll roll them into the recovery position and let them sleep it off for a little bit. Hopefully they'll wake up after the benzos wear off a bit, but sometimes they do still have to just go to the hospital, like, if they really won't wake up.
Certainly a complicating factor in intervention, keeping the airway passage clear is unexpected. When it comes to visual identifiers for a substance such as down, what does it look like?
The first thing I personally always look for is the color in the lips. I find that's a really good indicator right away that they're not getting enough oxygen. Their lips start to go kind of blue or colorless. They don't have that same like pinky kind of tone to their skin. Watch out for that. And sometimes their fingernails go purple too. Like, you can check the fingernails. If you can, see if they're breathing or not. And sometimes they're breathing only a little tiny bit, but it's not quite enough. So, like, I have a pulse oximeter that I keep with me all the time. It's just like a little doodad that goes on your finger and measures your oxygen levels. I know not everyone has that, so it is good to familiarize yourself with the symptoms of an opiate overdose. Lots of people think the biggest thing is the Narcan, which it is, but honestly, even more important is just the breath. Because even if you don't have Narcan on you, you can keep someone alive just by breathing for them until the ambulance gets there or until help shows up. So I always say first things first is if you find someone and they're down and they don't look well, they're maybe not breathing, I have a little pocket mask that I take everywhere with me. The Narcan kits also have a disposable mask you can use instead that work pretty good. And you just want to give them like a nice big breath every 4 seconds and make sure you're tilting their chin up. It's pretty obvious if someone has an overdose. Realistically, anyone you find passed out on the ground somewhere, you can give them Narcan and it's not going to do anything bad to them. So even if you're wrong and it's not an overdose, you can give them Narcan. It's not going to have any bad effect on them. It's just going to like kick those opiates off of their receptors if they are having an overdose. But it's usually pretty obvious. If they're down, it's not going to hurt to give them breaths and to give them Narcan. You know what I mean?
As far as basic first aid training is great to have if you want to help out in this area, but of course, Pounds puts on a number of workshops throughout the year that people can attend if they want to learn more about how to intervene properly, successfully, in a helpful way. And also, coming up is the annual general meeting of Pounds, and Pounds is also looking for volunteers in all kinds of areas. You don't have to be a registered nurse to be able to help out at Pounds. What kind of skill sets are you looking for to help out over at Pounds this coming year?
Honestly, like, anyone who is empathetic and open to getting to know people that might be different than them, I think would be a great fit for Pounds. You really don't have to have any kind of official background the biggest thing is just being able to connect with people and being able to manage your own biases. And also, people don't have to wait for a specific Narcan training. People can just come down to Pounds anytime. We're open between Wednesday and Saturday from 1 to 9 p.m. and we can just give them a one-on-one Narcan training if they prefer.
It probably doesn't hurt to call ahead, just to give you kind folks a heads up out there.
Our drug checking line, which is 250-617-7928, and folks can just call or text that number anytime. I usually have the phone on me.
Students within university or within the community, people like to celebrate, like to party, and occasionally that does involve drugs that aren't necessarily legal. Is it possible to have these drugs checked for safety at Pounds? Is this a service within the drug checking area?
It's definitely open to anyone who wants to come down and use the service. The drug checking service is open 1 to 9 p.m. and our OPS doesn't open until 5. So like if people are a little bit nervous about coming downtown or, you know, they're not like super comfortable, they can come down between 1 and 5 and it's just me here. The drop-in center isn't open and we would love to get more students down in here. I'm really hoping to connect with some places from the universities or the college. We've connected pretty well with like the downtown community, but we do testing for MDMA, cocaine. We can really test any powder substance that people are using. And like, I always encourage people to get their stuff tested because even if their dealer is someone they totally trust and they've never had any issues before, there's always that chance that something gets in there. And with some of the potential contaminants, like fentanyl is pretty normalized for opiate users at this point, but for someone who doesn't use opiates, fentanyl is very dangerous because it's so strong. Mm-hmm. And if you have no tolerance, it could be potentially bad. And there have been cases down in Vancouver of people getting like cocaine that has a little bit of contamination of fentanyl and they overdosed from it. So yeah, I highly encourage people to come get their stuff tested. We're super friendly. We're super nice. And it's totally anonymous. We would love to have anyone come down.
Visit thepoundsproject.com for more information. Email info@thepoundsproject.com if you'd like to get involved. Their executive director can be reached at 778-349-3349. Stay tuned to their socials to catch toxic drug alerts and to find out how you can help. Their annual general meeting is coming up Saturday, November 25th, 2023, 3 to 5 p.m. at 393 George Street in the Natsuya Center. This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program.